Ok. I would like to give you a sketchy review of some recent works I'm doing with a number of people. Tengku Ken, Misha Laskin, Semyon Klevtsov, Anton Zabrodin. It's a series of work, and they emphasize the role of geometry in subjects which traditionally treated algebraically. Yeah. So the story which I'm going to talk about is so-called two-dimensional Coulomb gas, or one-component plasma in two dimension. It has many different names, probably introduced to mathematics, one-dimensional version of this introduced to mathematics by Selberg in 1941. It has tremendous amount of applications, and probably everybody who is in this audience familiar with this formula. It's simply particles, it's statistical mechanics of particles with repulsive Coulomb potential neutralized by a background charge. here beta is a parameter, it will play a role of inverse temperature, and K is a charge of the background charge, of neutralizing charge. It's a large parameter, n is the number of particles. Okay, so integration going on a plane. This is very much, very well familiar story. That's pictures which probably everybody saw. It's a Monte Carlo study of equilibrium measure of this ensemble. And this picture is supposed to demonstrate the difference between, supposed to demonstrate that the distribution of these particles is uniform. Okay. Okay. But that is only the surface of the story. So what I would like to do is to emphasize the geometry. I would like to put this Coulomb gas on a genus zero surface, and this is an example of an embedded genus zero surface. So now let's assume that my particles lift here. And this surface, as you can see, has different curvature here and here, it's a different curvature. So these particles live on the surface. They repulse by Coulomb potential. And Coulomb potential is given by the fundamental solution of the Laplace equation. So it's a Green function of the Laplace equation. Not Laplace equation, really, but Laplace-Beltrami equation, which is adjusted to this geometry. And the subtracting term is a neutralizing potential. So V is the volume of this surface or area, such that if I integrate this equation, the right-hand side vanish. So there is a neutralization which is spread through, uniformly spread through the surface. Okay. That's the only definition of the Green function of Laplace-Beltrami equation. On a closed surface, you have to subtract this term always. Okay. Now, number of particles which I am going to place on the surface going to infinity, volume of the surface also going to infinity, such as the ratio is fixed. And I would like to study what really happened. What I'm really interested is not really how they distributed on this surface, but how the distribution change when I change the surface. Suppose I start from a sphere, it's my small baby potato, and then this potato grow, and it's not a perfect sphere any longer, it's life experience of this potato transform with different curvature as it's getting grow. So this particle rearrange himself slowly, because it grows slowly, and they would like to follow the flow. How do they rearrange? Namely, variation of geometry, say from a given, from some benchmark geometry sphere to something else, smoothly deformed. That's how this particle rearranged. That's a question. Okay. Before I proceed, let me write some formulas from Riemann geometry. But really elementary. On any surface as was drawn, it has been drawn, one can introduce locally in every chart so-called complex coordinates. It's a coordinates where the metric is diagonal. It's a 2x2 matrix, 2x2 symmetric matrix, positive, but there are coordinates where there is only one component. The matrix has only one component, and those coordinates always exist. This is one of the Riemann theorems. They cannot be used globally, but locally in every patient exist. For a sphere, we are very much familiar with this coordinates. It's simply stereographic projection from a sphere to a point, and that's coordinate Z. Okay. These coordinates require us to specify a point Z0, which is, in the case of sphere, usually chosen at the north pole, so it can be pushed at infinity, but it's a subject of Möbius transformation. That's not important, but it must be specified, and the metric behave accordingly to this point. So in this coordinate, the volume form is like that, and scalar curvature is dz bar of logarithm of conformal factors. So another object which I will need is so-called Keller potential. Riemann surfaces are Keller manifolds. That means that in these coordinates, there are coordinates in which metric represented by this K, and K is called Keller potential. At that chosen point for a sphere, it behaves like area times logarithm. For example, a perfect sphere where curvature is constant, scalar curvature is constant, along the sphere, the conformal factor will have that form and Keller potential will have that form. Right? But this is only minimal ingredients which I require. So if I put this Coulomb gas on a perfect sphere, round sphere, where curvature is constant, then this integral partition function of this ensemble will have that form. So once again, n is so there is a certain number of particles which I didn't write here, and k is the charge of the neutralized charge which spreads through the sphere uniformly. Right? So obviously, if the size of the sphere is very large, you can expand it, and that will be the formula which I showed in the beginning. Oops, sorry. Right? Where this factor organized to exponent, but in fact, if the manifold is closed, like a sphere, that is this factor. Okay. Now, on a general manifold, not on a perfect sphere, the Coulomb gas has the following distribution. In the special coordinates, so its energy, I will write it as a square of what is called wave function. This wave function appears in application, but distribution is positive, so it's a square of this object. And the wave function consists of Coulomb interaction times weighted with this Keller potential. That what used to be on a plane used to be e to the minus z square. It's a neutralizing background. This is how it's neutralized. So Apart from choosing this coordinate, in this coordinates, this geometry, it's only hidden in the form of neutralizing in this scalar potential. This object knows with its sphere or potato. And of course, you have to integrate with the invariant volume. So it's another source of geometry, how you integrate. But integrate for genus zero, you integrate on. Another source of geometry is that sphere cannot be covered by one chart. It's always two charts. Always two charts, and this information is also present here. So this is sources of geometry. Okay, then this is what I would like to study. Okay. Of course, if genus is not zero, say torus or two torus, this factor becomes some Jacobi Seta function, but I keep myself on genus zero case for today. Although most of the story which I'm going to say is local, there is a global aspect, but what I concentrate on local today, and genus will play little role.
Ah.
Sorry. So you have to solve this equation, find the Green function. And this constant part, which you neutralize the delta function, produces scalar potential, elementary. Thank you. Okay, so you may ask a question whether this integral converges, right? Scalar potential diverges logarithmically, but it's with minus. So it's a falling factor, but this is a polynomial. It's rising to infinity, to the special point, to the north pole. So they must be balanced itself, otherwise the things can diverge. It will not diverge if number of particles, which I put here, is less than this interesting number. Chi is the Euler characteristic of the manifold. For sphere, it's 2. And K is the charge distributed through the neutralizing background, say, parameter. So if n is less than that, it's converged. If larger, diverge has no meaning. Those who are familiar with quantum Hall effect, of course, and this is my inspiration, is quantum Hall effect. Of course, this is a Laughlin wave function. And we know that there are Landau levels. And that critical number is the occupancy of the first Landau levels. If you go to the high Landau level, then this doesn't work any longer. It must be not holomorphic and so on. But I don't appeal to that. It is simply analysis when this diverges. Okay, now, if I put k is given parameter, beta is given parameter, chi is the Euler characteristic for a sphere 2, equal 2. Now, if I put number of particles which is less than this number, then my potato, my surface, will occupy only partially, and the equilibrium distribution of these particles will have a boundary. And that's this interesting point, which tells me which coordinates I am choosing. So the story will depend on the point I'm choosing and on the coordinates. But if this number of particles is exactly that, the support will grow up and cover the entire surface, and the choice of the coordinates disappear. It's gone. So it becomes modulo invariant. Okay. And this is the reason here. This integral converges if n is less than this number, but then support of equilibrium distribution has a boundary, as I draw. If n is exactly that number, but it's supposed to be integer, and this number is supposed to be integer, so there is some arithmetic involved, the support of equilibrium distribution is entire surface. And this is the case which I'm concentrating. Of course, case with the boundary is much more interesting, much deeper, but I'm not in a position to discuss it today. Okay, now, under this condition, when n is maximum possible, the integrand depends which coordinates I choose on the surface. I can choose complex coordinates, whatever coordinates. but the integrand doesn't. So this integrand depends only on geometry, and for that reason it's called geometric functional. It doesn't depend on the metric really, it depends on geometry, namely curvature, and if the genus is higher, depends on Tichmüller space, on moduli. So this information, this object carry, especially at large n, carry the very important information about geometry of this story. Right? Because it doesn't, it so carry... I will study at large n, of course. The statement is yes, but the interesting thing comes when n is large. So it depends only on curvature and the moduli. But for sphere, in a sphere there is no moduli, so it's only curvature. So that is an analog, that story is small analog of so-called Riemann-Roch theorem. Riemann-Roch theorem counts number of holomorphic sections, holomorphic function on a manifold, on actually line bundle, which is associated with the surface. So Riemann-Roch theorem tells me how many holomorphic solutions, how many holomorphic functions exist on the surface. Okay. So if I normalize these holomorphic functions properly with the scalar potentials, then the wave function will be simply the Slater determinant of those holomorphic sections factor beta. And since number of this function is limited, and Riemann-Roch theorem will tell you how many, that's where this integral becomes convergent. When that integral becomes convergent. So you'll see it's already some small link to analytical geometry. Okay, now I would like to advertise importance of this integral. There is a beautiful paper, a review article by Peter Forrester, maybe 5-7 years ago, which is called Importance of Selberg Integral. This is one of the Selberg integral. I would like to spend some time to emphasize limited list of applications. There are applications in physics, in algebra, in analysis, and representation theory. And I concentrate on non-physics. And probability theory and stochastic process, but I can't list them all, so let me consider. The first application, and probably physically the most important, is nowadays, at least this is my driven, this application, this is where I take my inspiration, it's quantum Hall effect. So what is written here, it's a Laughlin wave function for particles with interacting particles with on the surface with magnetic field. So then this K is magnetic field, it's a parameter which stay here. Beta is inverse fraction, so if beta equal 1, it's an integer quantum Hall effect. If beta is integer, it's a fractional quantum Hall effect. So you may want to ask a question, if you put particles on the surface in magnetic field, they form a quantum Hall state, and then now you would like to change the geometry of the surface and ask how particles move. This is called new subject, which developing subject, which is called geometric transport. Usually in quantum Hall system, we apply electric field and ask how particles ask for electric current. That is a new story when you apply, you change geometry and ask for currents and forces are distributed in the system. Okay. So, very important, interesting application is to hydrodynamics or turbulence. Maybe I can go to the next slide. Sorry, I come to this in a moment. So, very much familiar application to random matrix models. So, for beta equal 1, this is called Ginibre ensemble, but it's usually put on a plane. But on Riemann surfaces, it has generalization. So, if M and M Dagger are so called normal matrices N by N, such that they commute and can be diagonalized simultaneously, then you may introduce some potential which depends on both take a trace and weight every matrix with this Boltzmann weight, integrate over Haar measure. So that's integral reduced to integral which I showed for beta equal 1. And this potential will consist of Keller potential and the metric itself. When we write this form, geometry is lost. But it can be recovered if you understood that this potential is actually related to geometry, but not really in a trivial way, but geometry can be taken from it. Then when the matrix is diagonalized, eigenvalues of this matrix are distributed exactly as Coulomb gas. Okay. For beta equal 1, the system is integrable, and it has determinantal structure which correspond to our functions of certain integrable hierarchies, well-studied story. Okay, next application is Dyson diffusion. Dyson diffusion is diffusing of particles, Brown particles, which are driven by Browning motion, but these particles interact between themselves and are in the potential, in some confining potential. This is called Dyson diffusion. Usually this object reasons on a plane when K is the modulus of Z square, but on a Riemann surface it looks like that, and white noise must be adjusted to the geometry. So this is a stochastic process, and the equilibrium distribution of this process is the Coulomb gas, which I showed. Okay. Application to hydrodynamics. And perhaps it's one of the most dramatic applications which have potential to be developed. If we consider incompressible two-dimensional ideal liquid, Euler, which is described by Euler equation. If I put this liquid on a closed sort manifold without boundary, then because it's incompressible, liquid cannot move at all unless there are vortices. So any motion of this liquid will require vortices. So what is written here is the Euler equation for vorticity. And typical flow consists of many, many vortices. And remarkably, but known for almost 150 years, that solution of these equations it's a nonlinear, it's an Euler equation, but there is a finite dimensional set of solutions, which is so-called basic Kirchhoff equation. So if I introduce complex velocity, ux and uy, and then assume the ansatz, which consists of n vortices with circulation gammas positioned in these points, every vortice, then apparently this ansatz goes through this equation like it, respect it, and gives the evolution of these vortices, which is given exactly by this Dyson, by the process which is called, which is very close to Dyson diffusion, although it's not diffusive, it's conservative. There is a bar here and I, so that's a difference. But if you introduce noise, so, and this is equation is equivalent sort of, but it's finite dimensional, it's equivalent, it's a solution of this many body system is a solution of Euler equation. But if you introduce noise, then, then the distribution of, then the distribution of these vortices is given by the same Coulomb gas, which discovered by Ansager in the 50s, and this is called Ansager ensemble, but it's exactly the same. in that interpretation, beta is a circulation of every vortex, and k is the angular velocity of rotation of the vessel. So, Okay. Typically, what happens in hydrodynamics is vortices has positive and negative, and Coulomb gas represent one component plasma when it is only positive, say. But what happened in hydrodynamics is really in its numerics is that vortices red and blue, if you let them time to develop, they will separate to blobs. One is clockwise rotation oriented, another is anti-clockwise rotation, and each of these will be described by this Coulomb gas. So it's a kind of end story of turbulence. Okay. Interesting application for cosmology. Just before Newton, Descartes came up with his own cosmology when he thought that the planets and stars are vortices in the fluid, and they must be all the same sign. And in words, this is a picture from his monograph, and in words, he wrote this Kirchhoff equation, but not in formulas, but in words. It's a bit different than Newton's celestial mechanics, and that after Kepler it has been abandoned, but if you're interested in Descartes' cosmology, then this Coulomb gas actually tell you how planets move, distributed. Okay, now, when do we need this geometry? As I said, once this object is computed, it's carrying information about geometry, and then I can vary it with respect to the metric. Varying, I will obtain what is called a stress tensor. It describes forces between these particles in different positions. And from this object, I can compute all correlation functions I need. So this has a lot of information because it will depend on geometry too. I can vary it a couple of times, number of times, it will be produce me, and then I can put it on a flat space. It will produce me tons of valuable information. For example, this is a result which we, so how does this particle distribute it on this surface? What is the sometimes called equilibrium measure? What it is, I take this partition function and integrate over all coordinates except one. That is the density, and we can ask how this density. So before showing this formula, before we look on this formula, can I ask you where a particle go to the sharp places or to the smooth place? When, before you look for this formula, where do they go? They repulse, but the surface is closed, so they have no space to escape, so they must be balanced. Yeah, they go to the sharp here, and the density, that this formula represents the gradient expansion in gradients of curvature. So initially, curvature is uniform, but then it starts to know about curvature, and the sign is plus, so curvature is larger, number of particles larger there. But then there is a subleading correction, which is the key point of my talk. I'm going to talk in the last 15 minutes, I'm going to talk about this term. It goes with the coefficient C divided by 48, and C expressed through temperature beta in this form. This is a relatively new result, although it's 14 years old. It's hard to compute, I would say. We have a specialty, develop a special technique which I'm not touching, I'm not talking about it, but it's not an easy calculation. Okay, but once you have this formula, and I will concentrate on this term kind of innocent, it's very small, because if the gradient the gradients are small, if it is a smooth surface, it's a subleading correction, right? But it actually carries essential information I'm going to talk about. Okay. But for example, if you differentiate this density over, vary this density with respect to curvature, again, you will obtain the correlation function between two densities, because it's a kind of a generating functional. And then you can put curvature zero, it will be a flat case. So this formula, geometrical formula, transmitted, transformed to the expansion of the what is called structure function, its Fourier transform of two-point correlation function with respect to Q. And this 12, you see it is coming from here. Right? It's also a new result. It's very difficult to obtain. But if you do it, try to obtain it in the flat space, you're in big trouble. If you do it through geometry, it's a question of differentiation. Ah, it is non-linear, but it's next correction. I show you. Next slide. Okay, but if beta equal 1, that becomes purely a mathematical problem, which goes under the name of Berman kernel. Because in this case, there is a Christoffel Darboux formula which tells you how this density is written in terms of amplitude of any holomorphic functions on the surface. Right? It's a determinantal, what we call determinantal process. And this is diagonal of the Berman kernel. Right? So Berman kernel would be sum over S in one point and S in another point. But when the points are joined, that's density, it's diagonal, but otherwise it's a so-called Berman kernel. And its asymptotes are very well studied by mathematics, by some modern geometers. It's actually a subject of geometry. And I would like to take an excuse to say that all the kernels which has been mentioned in this conference, AR1, AR2, Whitaker, whatever zoo of kernels, it is just specification of Berman kernels. But when you look for every kernel, I don't see geometry there. But it's there if you understand how it's related to holomorphic functions. Okay. Ferrari, Klevtsov, and Zeldich, 2012, championed much longer expansion in gradients of curvature. And then you can see nonlinear terms already. But they come later in the gradient expansions. These three terms we were able to compute for arbitrary beta with a very different technique, but Berman kernel capable to produce all expansion. We may not need these numbers, but they have some interesting features. It's interesting numbers, which probably has combinatorial meaning. They compute maybe some algebraic object. We don't know this, but this series could be generated. Okay. So every coefficient here will tell me about further expansion of the correlation function. Further expansion of this correlation function, or correlation function of 3 points, 4 points, whatever number of points. If you want 5 points correlation function, you probably have to go to that term or something like that, right? It's a kind of a generating machinery. Okay. Now, but in order to emphasize geometry, it's good to make them it's extreme. And extreme case, it will be singular surfaces with conical singularity. So it's a cones, or you can put it on a cube, for example, choose cone gas on a cube, vertex of a cube will be a cone. Anyway, conical singularities. That's what geometry emphasizes the most. Cone is a surface which is flat, curvature is zero, except one point where curvature is delta function, it's all curved here, and the curvature is here depends on this angle. So the metric of this surface is simply, it could be thought about a wedge. This is flat space, but it's a wedge, and then close this up. So there is a sort of boundary condition when this part is equivalent to this part. Okay, so it's a cone. So the metric of this cone is has a singularity, and this alpha is called the deficit angle. It is this angle of a removing part of the wedge. Because its surface is flat, the density of particle here is uniform. It's a constant. It doesn't matter here or here or here because it's flat. But closing to here, it starts to deviate from a constant. And this is graph which for beta equal 1, which Ilya Grusberg gave it to me for this talk. You see that coming back to the apex, the curvature, depending on the angle, it's behave ugly and then rise. Because particles, as we know, want to be on a tip. So we can count how many particles sitting on the tip of the needle, right? But so that in the limit when number of particles is large or k is going to infinity, then it's continuum. That's all this area is shrink to a point, and the density is a singular function. So singular function is better to describe in terms of the moments where I take a difference from asymptotic infinity integrated moments. That will be zero, but if I weight it with a scaling, k goes to infinity with the proper scaling, k goes to infinity, it's finite numbers. So these finite numbers carry the information. Not in terms of gradients of curvature, so this formula is not applicable at a cone, but it carries the same information but in different numbers, in different ways, so these numbers. So the first moment, the zeroth moment, it's how many particles are sitting on the apex. So how many angels could be placed on the tip of a needle. Right here. It's exactly half of the cone angle. But what is remarkable, and this is my point for my remaining 5 minutes, is the second moment when we compute the moment of inertia. So I take this difference and weighted it with r to the square. It's a dipole moment or the moment of inertia. It can be computed by us very recently, and it's expressed through the angle of the cone through this interesting formula. This c is 1 minus 3 beta, and gamma is if alpha is a deficit angle, what removed, and gamma is what remains. So this formula. Okay, so I'm sure that some of the in the audience recognize this formula as a conformal dimension of twist operators of conformal field theory, but those who recognize this formula miss the point that it comes with the opposite sign. Okay, so taking opposite sign, it's exactly conformal dimension of the twist operators. So if you take a conformal field theory, say free bosons, and put it on that surface, and that surface. And if you assume that this conformal field theory has a central charge C, then the particle state here is conformal primary with dimension, which depends on this C, and the angle, and that's exactly this formula, but with opposite sign. Secret. It's know-how. But we computed it. We have a special technique of doing this. But for beta equal 1, it's you can compute it through this Bergman kernel by hands. And it's, I remember. They synchronized. Okay, so before I come to this, let me, I have another 3 minutes, but let me come to, I deviate from the cone a moment and I'll come back to it in next slide. So if I'm on geometry, as I said, on some Riemann manifold, then I can compute this Coulomb-Guess partition function and it depends entirely on geometry. But it also depends on n, or k rather. K is a large parameter, or n, doesn't matter. And then I expand it in terms of k. As we know from random matrix model, the expansion starts from k square, then first order in k, and then zero orders, and then the rest, then the following orders. Okay. And every coefficient here is a functional of geometry. It doesn't depend on n number of particles any longer. It's a functional of geometry. What are these functionals? Apparently, these functionals have been appeared in geometry independently, in Keller geometry independently. It has certain names, and this functional just come as one over n expansion of this functional. The first one is called Aubin-Yau functional. It is symbolically written so this way, but it's written in that coordinate, in the chosen coordinate, in other coordinates it will look differently, but it doesn't depend on coordinate choice. The second one is called the Mabuchi functional. It's also known, was known in geometry before. It appears at the first order. It's also non-local, it has a non-local form in terms of curvature, and it's a certain coefficient. The third one, which is neutral, which has k to the zero. Yeah, and this p1, p2, p0 are coefficients which depend on the beta. The third one happened to be Polyakov action, Polyakov Liouville action, with a very precise coefficient, with the c which we committed. But the others are local functional of curvature. Those three are non-local and cannot be really written through curvature, although they're invariant. You change the coordinate system, they don't change. But the others are local function of curvature. It's the last one, the next one. And coefficient p minus 1 is unknown. For beta equal 1, known, but otherwise unknown. Indeed. Okay. This formula can be combined in the following way, rewritten in the following way. This partition function has these two maybe less familiar functional, they sometimes called gravitational vis-a-vis-a, functional which represents the leading order and subleading order in this number of particles, okay. But those which comes with zeroth order is exactly determinant of Laplace operator on a Riemann surface. Spectral. That's our main result. And it comes with coefficient with the power c over 2 and c related to the temperature. So this object is, as we know, conformal invariant, where the Coulomb gas is not. Why it is not? Because these two are not conformal invariants, but it has conformal invariance somewhere hidden in the order which conformal, which k to the which doesn't possess large k. K is a scale. So Coulomb gas is hiddenly related to conformal invariant. But this determinant comes with the opposite sign, so it's not minus, but it's plus. So it's actually a contribution of ghosts, not particles. Okay. So once this result is established, this cone goes very simple, because we know how the determinant scale, which is when we scale the matrix, it's a conformal cone, is conformal primary. So if I make a dilatation transformation of the matrix of the cone, this determinant transform with conformal dimension, which depends on the cone. Here c is 1, but then it has to be raised to this power. It's a misprint. Okay. On a cone, it so happened that geometry is so sharp here that these two factors becomes irrelevant. They are smooth, and cone is sharp, and they're all sharp. So what used to be subleading term in smooth geometry becomes the dominant term in the cone geometry. And that's established connection to conformal field theory. Suddenly, this Coulomb gas, which is not conformal at all, but around this, locally around this cone, becomes becomes conformal invariant. And that's basically what, it's my last slide. Right? So what conformal invariance means that if I solve the problem on one manifold, on one surface. I don't need, but I want to solve a problem on a different surface. I don't need to solve it again. I do conformal transformation. Right? And this formula establishes this conformal transformation. So these objects are, these two objects, which is actually not conformal, but they also transformed. Not conformally, but they do transform. But once you know, and it's known how they transform. Right? So what I'm saying is that if I solve the story on a potato, I know how to solve it on a tomato. Right? Because I know map which transforms one to another. Right? So using this formula, it's good.
So, are there questions?
So you mentioned this paper by Forrester, which advertises the Selberg integral. So he is also advertising the Dixon-Anderson integral as higher order object leading to the computation of the Selberg integral. Yeah. Is there an analog of this in geometrics?
Yes, it's a good point. I don't know. Some of the Selberg integrals officially, it's one-dimensional integral on the interval or on a circle, right? And this is on a plane, but it has holomorphic structure, so it's almost like one-dimensional. But some features are easily transformed to analytic expansion, but some not, or maybe we were not able to, but it's an interesting question which worries me, but how much could be brought from one dimensional to two dimensional, but I don't know.
So in case your charges form actually a boundary, I mean, do you know anything about the structure of the boundary? I mean, sort of statistical fluctuations of the boundary and similar type of properties?
That's perhaps the most interesting story with the boundary. I know something, not to the extent which make me satisfied. But yes, no. So cone, in a sense, a very, very tiny boundary. And that's why it's sort of easier. But if boundary is extended, we know we know fluctuations, we know how the density, how the equilibrium measure fall through the boundary and fall in very dramatic oscillatory wave way. So if I have some pictures, but it's developed very complicated oscillations with for beta equal 1 on the boundary you will find Tracy-Wheedon distribution, of course, but for beta more than 1 it's some unknown distribution but accessible in a limited way. But
what are prominent physical systems where this would apply? Some high dielectric constant films or something where you have electrodynamics?
We're mostly thinking about quantum Hall effects. So, for example, let me give you an example. It's a Gedanken kind of experiment, but you may like it. So, for example, let me take a surface with two cones, one and another, and they have quantum Hall state on this surface. And now, adiabatically, I would like to transform geometry by moving one cone around another and come back. I would like to braid singularities, right? What statistics do they show? That's a question about cohomology of these functionals. So I change parameters moduli slowly and go around the cycle and see whether I accumulate a phase. For example, if I braid this cone, they will pick up a very, very funny statistics. Okay. This kind of things. But for but the major applications are the following. So all this story tells that whenever Coulomb gas applied, and it could be hydrodynamics, it could be in some diffusion, it could be in quantum Hall, the system is very, very sensitive to change of geometry. Whether you do a cycle or a small change, it's very sensitive. And it's respond to change of geometry in a very regular way, almost universal, and control, and is controlled by entities of conformal field theory. And that's perhaps the major applications which I think about. How the system responds to geometry.
Are there more questions?
If not, let's thank you.